Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com and syndicated all over the world, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, the list goes on and on, Player FM, the list goes on and on and on. I'm memorizing more every week. The show, of course, at raisingthevibrationradio.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host here in Los Angeles. And this is Raising the Vibration. This show was born out of a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016. So happy five-year anniversary to raisingthevibration.org. And I founded it when my mom passed to carry on her teachings, both spiritual and humane. My mama believed that there needed to be more peace and love and kindness and unity in the world. And I didn't know what the movement was going to be when I founded it. This radio show was the first outreach of that. It began in January 2017. This show is really about, what are you doing to make the world a better place? Every week I gather the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in the spiritual community, the paranormal community, the artistic community, the entertainment community, the world of give back, all of my communities. I bring together people I adore from all the different communities that I'm a part of. And we talk about passion and service and, again, what you're doing to make the world a better place, because to me, your service in the world is based on four things. Ascension, what are you doing to lift yourself up to be your best you? Evolvement, what are you doing to become a better human being than you were yesterday? Inspiration, now that you're working on you, what are you doing to bring others up to do the same? And, of course, love, because love is everything. And all you need is love, and love is all there is. And the Beatles were right, and it's all true. So this week on the show, two of my favorite friends from the paranormal community. Their show is Dead Air Full Spectrum. It's on KGRA. And they are the wonderful Ken DaCosta and George R. Lopez. Such a joy to have you both here. Thank you for being here. And thanks for coming and doing this this show with me.
Yeah, good evening tonight, Sheena. How are you doing?
Hello, my friends. How are you? It's great to hear your voices.
I'm doing actually good.
Yeah, doing great.
It seems like every couple of weeks, either I do your show or you do my show. So we just kind of keep flip-flopping back and forth.
Yeah, well, there's lots to say, you know. Isn't that how it is?
That's how it is. Yes, that's the key of good radio, right? Is you just keep finding things to say, you just keep talking, and I think you're both so fantastic, and I'm honored to have you here.
Thank you.
I think that sometimes my friends in the paranormal community wonder what they're doing on this show, in the same way that I think sometimes my friends in the entertainment community wonder what they're doing on my Wednesday at 5 o'clock show, Haunted Playground. But the truth is, I think that whatever your thing is, right, in life, whatever your passion is, and for both of you, certainly the paranormal is a passion, there has to be some aspect of give back to it, right? I mean, you don't just do it because it's fun to do it. I mean, you do everything for that, and that's true, but also because you're hoping someone gets something out of it, right? Whether it's somebody who lives in a haunted house that may be unsure of what's going on in their own world, whether you're helping maybe a skeptic to become a believer, or you're helping a believer to become a little more skeptical, whatever it is, right? Ken, how do you feel about that? For you, what is sort of the spiritual nutrition in what you do in the paranormal world?
I think it all comes down to intention. I think that a lot of people get into this with, excuse me, nothing but good intentions. I mean, we're all having something that's part of the human experience, and sometimes what's part of the human experience is, you know, having these kind of strange events happen to you, and you're just looking for a little clarity or maybe a little support or maybe some kind of confirmation that something's going on. So all those things factor into it. But, I mean, in the end, I think what we're trying to do by offering ourselves up is to let people know that they're not alone and that there are people who are also experiencers who are willing to go into this type of thing that may not entirely be mainstream. But I think in every facet of life, people want a support system and they want someone who will listen to them and if possible to try to make sense out of it. So in the end, I guess what we're trying to do is reach out to them, let them know they're not alone. We will listen to them. And, you know, because it's not an easy thing to do, because when these things happen, you know, you will tell a total stranger like myself something that you probably won't share with your family or friends or coworkers because you're afraid of being laughed at. So just be there in that sense. And I guess the most important thing is to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're making it about people or specifically the people that are affected by this, and just not about ourselves, but to just reach out to them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I think that there is spiritual fortitude in almost everything, right? And in every community, people just need to know they're loved. And the paranormal community is no exception to that. And I think we forget sometimes, and the three of us have talked about this a lot, we forget some on each other's shows, we forget sometimes that a lot of folks get into the paranormal because of something scary that happened to them as kids. Haunted house, their house was haunted, you know, saw a dead grandparent after they passed, some kind of an interdimensional extraterrestrial episode, some funky angel demon-y kind of thing. I mean, you know what I mean? So for a lot of folks, there is some emotional unrest around why they're in the paranormal, and they need to be loved and supported too. Just because, you know, what we're doing is in essence spooky doesn't mean that people don't need that same kind of love. And I think that's very important to remember, you know, George?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it, because one of the things that we want to try to do is take away a lot of the anxiety and the uncertainty and, you know, allow them to, you know, go about their normal lives without, you know, really having this hang over their heads. So, I mean, it's more of a human service than it is anything else, and just reaching out to people and helping them understand these type of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think part of what I think Raising the Vibration is about, what my movement is about and what this show is about whatever you're doing in your daily life, you should be helping people, uplifting people, figuring out who needs help, who feels out of place. And how can you make them feel more in place? I mean, and little things sometimes, right? If I'm, as a kid, we moved a lot, so I was always the new kid. And so I have like new kid syndrome. Like, I'll make conversation with a nurse while I'm on a stretcher, like, you know, anything to like make somebody feel more comfortable.
Right.
And I find sometimes, you know, you see people in stores or in coffee shops or working in their jobs, and they just seem really uncomfortable. And sometimes just going up and saying a kind word to them makes all the difference. And it's the same thing in a paranormal situation, right? Sometimes somebody in an investigation looks scared or looks worried or looks like they don't think they fit in and they don't know what they're doing there. And it just takes a couple of nice sentences to fix the whole situation, right?
Yeah, I think the thing is you take something that you have an interest in. We all have different interests. In George and my case, you know, we have an interest in the paranormal. So you take that interest and you put it out there to try to make somebody else's situation a little bit better. Whatever yeah. that interest may be, whatever that hobby may be, you know, spread it into the world and do some type of good with it. So I think that's a lesson for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. How do you, Ken, when you're with your group, when you're investigating, how do you deal with new members that or new people that you haven't seen somewhere in an investigation before that just like flat out seem uncomfortable?
In my own group?
Yeah, in your own group or when your group is investigating somewhere. You know, what do you do when there's somebody who's, you know, obviously maybe new to this and seems a little bit uncomfortable?
Oh, right, right. Okay, well, I mean, the first thing we do is try to pair them up with someone who has some years and experience in this thing and give them as much
Perfect.
Input as we possibly can before we head out there. Knowing that to say it is one thing, to experience something is entirely different. But if they're uncomfortable, you have to give people their space. And the only thing I ask is that if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, no one's going to make fun of you because at one point or another, if you do this long enough, something out there is going to happen that is just not going to sit quite right with you, or maybe you have your own doubts. So, I mean, let someone know, and then maybe if you need to take a break or maybe you just want to talk it out, and that's perfectly fine. You know, we're not going to judge you, but ultimately you'll have to decide in those situations, is this for you? Is this something you want to pursue? But sometimes people just need to step away and just gather themselves for a minute. So it's important to give them that space.
Yeah, yeah. I 100% agree with that. I think that's so important, and I think that that's very, very true. And it's about nurturing, right? I mean, we nurture people through the paranormal like we nurture people through anything.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, that's for sure. But, you know, people have good intentions coming into it, but they have to decide on their own. Are you here to research? Are you here for discovery? Are you here for your own curiosity, whatever that is?
Right, or your own catharsis.
You know, yeah, you know, whatever
in
that case may be.
Yeah.
But that separates people who are in it for the short term or the long term.
Yeah, I agree. So very true. I mean, are there people that you believe just don't belong in it? I mean, are there people that are there certain personality types that you would say to them, you know what, sweetheart, maybe this is just not for you?
Constantly. I mean, I know George has some strong opinions on that as well, but
George,
the short answer for that is that there are absolutely people doing this. And once you start doing it for yourself, once you start saying, what kind of attention can I get out of this? How can I bring attention or financial gain or, you know, and just sort of use this as a springboard to your own particular, you know, needs or desires, then I think you're getting away from the you know, the really thing that bonds us all in common in trying to help people.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. What is it for you, George? What is it that keeps you so passionate about it? It keeps you coming back.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are really talking about. I'm just in this for the money.
Sure, right?
Yeah, that's not working out too well yet, but, you know, I'm always hopeful.
Yeah,
good luck with
no, I think, yeah, I know. I think, you know, we're basically in this particular paranormal community, you know, just like any other community out there. I mean, this every year in Daytona here, they have a reptilian convention, people who have their pet snakes,
oh.
their pet lizards. And I'm sitting there going, okay, it's a very unique kind of a concept, but no different than what we have ourselves. But, you know, we're our own box of Fruit Loops, you know, different colors. And, you know, that it's what we kind of sort of have adopted is anybody potentially can be a part of this group. It's all about going back to energy again. You can, if you've been doing this long enough and you're going into places where there are no people, so you're focused on the energies of a location, you start to have that same kind of sense about people. And when people come to investigate, whether you're having an event or you're going to a location and you're inviting new people, you get the ones that you could tell right away are shut down. They're just not interested
sure.
in it. They'd rather be someplace else. And that kind of energy is not really going to, you know, really help the environment, help the investigation, help you as a collector of data. Then you get the others who are hyper paranoid and scared. And that's really kind of a deterrent. It's the ones that just seem to be enthusiastic about this. They really want to get involved. They really want to have that experience, a true experience, and not haunted house Halloween time frame experience. They want to be able to engage with spirit. And it's a rare item to find something like that. That's a rare prize. But when it happens, I think it's good for everybody in the field.
I agree. Yeah, when you find somebody that really has it, that wants to be a lifer. I think it's the same thing about, I remember my high school teacher telling my mom once, my high school theater teacher, that he waited, you know, for the 5 or 6 kids that he knew had real talent. And that was really where he felt like he was meant to teach those kids. I think it's the same thing, right? We're looking for those who are going to be the next paranormal movers and shakers and who really find their home in the paranormal. But I think a lot of folks just want to do it once, or it's funny, or it's weird. Or remember, I went to this event at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, and there were probably 200 people there. I mean, maybe even more. I couldn't believe when we got there how many people were standing outside waiting for it to start. I mean, just hundreds of people. And a lot of them, once we all got inside, they're just kind of running around crazy. It reminded me of like when folks are in a corn maze at Halloween, you know, they were just running around like, you know, willy-nilly from place to place, screaming and yelling, and big groups of them running across the, you know, like it was insanity. But that's what some people want, right? They're looking to recapture that Halloween experience. They're looking to take a paranormal location and turn it into a Halloween horror night at Universal Studios. Those folks usually don't stay in the community. They're usually just there for their thrill, and that's the end of it. And I think there are events that are geared towards folks like that, and I think that's great. Certainly Waverly probably has lots of groups of folks like that. I don't know if they still do the thing where you can spend the night there, but I know they had that for a while. You know, so I think that's a lot different than being an actual investigator and being in it to literally try to find out what's out there and how we can better communicate with it. Ken, what is your – I hate to say the word end goal, but I'm going to say – I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say events like that, basically, I mean, there are paranormal investigations and there are paranormal field trips. And that's fine.
Right.
But a lot of these things are just monuments to consumerism where you are charging and you just try to jam as many people in there as possible. And, you know, I think they are what they are. You know, it's just kind of like a form of entertainment. And, you know, and that's fine. You know, that's fine.
I thought it was fun because I've never experienced anything like that because of my history growing up in a haunted house, I think I've always been a rather serious part of the community. Like, I always taken it very seriously. Just to be in a space where, you know, you're sitting there trying to kind of suss out what you feel, me as a psychic, in a room, and then all of a sudden you hear, oh, my God, and like 50 people go trampling by. I mean, it was actually kind of interesting. It was a great way to observe the human zoo. And I think that's what a lot of people think investigating is.
That's correct.
But I think for those who do it, obviously it's a much more, you know, serious thing. And it's a much more of a lifelong commitment or a long-term commitment. Ken, when you think about all the work that you've done in the paranormal, what are you hoping that you're bringing to the community? What do you hope that people are getting out of what you do?
I think the first thing that separates a good investigator, I guess, from one that's mediocre or just in it for their own reasons, is that you have to understand that human beings are experiencing this, so you have to be a people person. And those are the best that do it. Those that are willing to sit and be patient and listen to people and hear their experiences and hear their stories. And, of course, obviously you get some crazy stories sometimes that you just have to dismiss. But there's times when, you know, families are affected by this thing. So I think that's the main thing that you have to realize, whether it's someone's home or a business or, you know, a public location that's under stewardship of a group of people, that you are still dealing with the human element there. So you have to have that type of empathy and compassion for what they're going through. But I think the end game in this really for us has never been to prove the existence of ghosts or anything. It's just to go in a very objective way and try to determine exactly what it is these people are experiencing. Because I've always thought the best possible outcome is to be able to tell somebody, we figured it out, the noises that you're hearing are just natural, there's nothing to fear. To me, that's the best possible result. And then on the rarer occasions, you run into something that is unexplainable, and you leave it at that and just try to help them, you know, kind of come to grips with it and understand what it is that's going on there. But in the end, you just have to be honest with people. So to me, that's at the end of the day, just being honest and legitimate with people and, you know, just helping them kind of work their way through it, whether there's a rational explanation or a supernatural explanation.
Yeah, I agree, right? It's all being gentle with people. No matter what the answer is and no matter what the outcome is, you have to be gentle with people every step of the way. Because, and we've talked about this before, but some people, right, are more upset to find out their house isn't haunted than they are to find out it's haunted, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people don't take to that because, you know, they – I mean, and one of the things that I know we talked about this too at length is that, you know, if you're experiencing something for a period of years, it's kind of unrealistic to expect we're going to go in 6 or 7 hours and have every one of those experiences, you know. So a lot of times this takes multiple visits, and it takes a period of time to try to determine if something actually is going on there. But it's a process. It's not a one-off to just go in, have fun, light up your equipment, all the things you see on television. You know, the real world is very, very much different than that.
It's very true. And it takes time, right? I mean, you spend a lot of time sitting in the dark by yourself.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. And that's one of the reasons it's not for everybody. When the flaming head doesn't come out of the wall within 5 minutes like it does on TV, people are like bored to tears. But, Yeah, you have to endure those type of things, you know, and if nothing happens, then you have to accept that the same way.
Well, that's where I think I'm spoiled as a psychic, because stuff is going on everywhere. I mean, this is the thing. Every location, if you look at it like I do as a psychic, every location has some level of activity. That doesn't mean, you know, the flaming head's coming out of the wall, or it's even anything you can see, or it's an intelligent haunting that's actually bothering you. But there is residual energy everywhere you go. So for me, it's kind of like a celestial salad bar every time I walk into a place, because I can feel a lot of the residual memories that are there just from being there, you know? So you never should be disappointed. You never should feel like you're somewhere and there's nothing just because you didn't get a major read or you didn't get a major EVP or you didn't see an apparition on the camera. That doesn't mean that there's not something there, because there's pretty much always, there's always something there. Just sometimes you can't see it or feel it, right?
You got it. You got it. Absolutely right.
Have you ever been anywhere that you honestly thought there's absolutely nothing here? Nothing.
Plenty. I mean, I would say the vast majority of places. I think there's a misconception that, you know, every time you walk into a place, you get something evidential, and that's just not the reality of it. You know, I think, and we said this before, where I think in our popular culture with ghost hunting, whatever you want to call it, I think people sometimes, because of the entertainment value, have an unrealistic expectation of what they're going to find or what it is that we do. But, you know, the short answer to that is, you know, the vast majority of time, you know, nothing really happens, but you still go through the process.
Sure. And the process itself is what's fun, right?
I think so. What, say, Mr. Lopez?
Yeah, I mean, it's like being a bird watcher, right? Every time you go out to watch a bird, you don't necessarily find that bird, but isn't it still fun being out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all go through those occurrences where we're doing a residential case, and, you know, and don't forget, too, in a lot of those circumstances, you've got a limited time. You're not in there on a regular basis. You're not going there multiple times. I know in Ken's case, he's had a couple of residential cases where he's gone back to assist, but it's usually just that one-time visit, and if you're able to explain to them that it is something that is easily non-paranormal, here's the reasons why you've got something going on, then you you don't have to go back to visit again. But, you know, at the same time, I agree with you 100%, Gene, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have psychic abilities or mediumship capabilities to know that a good majority of places you go into that there are energies that are around. You know, I think even from the aspect, not just those that are echoes of a time where there was life there, but there's also intelligent hauntings that are going on in different places more so than we expect. You know, it's just these historically haunted, super haunt locations that we're going to capture this stuff, when in reality we could probably be in a quiet environment like an abandoned mall and be able to catch that after it's closed. If you were a security guard there at night and carried a recorder, chances are you're going to catch something. So there's so much that's still out there. But there was something that Ken said earlier that I kind of have a different perspective on, but that's also because – you know, Ken still has an amazing team, Rise Up Paranormal, and they've been doing residential cases for forever. I had my stint with my team doing residential cases, but I backed away from that because, again, I got very, very frustrated with, and I think there's a different animal, a different beast here in Florida when it comes to people. They can be a little bit left of center, and so a lot of the times we were done and, you know, we wasted gas and time and money and, you know, and these people were just, they were themselves either off their meds or off their rocker. And, you know, you get kind of frustrated with that. And my focus started to become how to
I think you need to elaborate on that a little bit more, my friend, because that's painting a lovely picture and I'm laughing.
Oh, gosh. One of my frustrating ones was driving halfway across the state to a woman who had invited us out, told us that she was having all kinds of really weird things going on. Her dog was beginning to fall ill because of the paranormal events happening in the house. And when we arrived there, about an hour and a half ride to get there, she invited friends up from 2.5 hours away to come for this event.
Sure she did.
In the beginning of the investigation, the first thing she brought out was her box of wine to serve up to everybody, which we, of course, refused. And it just got crazy from there to where we moved her out of the house to the neighbor's house in their garage. And we took a break, and she was down there and all of a sudden slipped into a trance and then started speaking gibberish. And that's when we packed up.
Right. Which I'm sure for her was the ancient language of the, you know, the Aztecs.
No, I think it was the ancient languages of the box wine goddesses. That's what that was.
Exactly. Yes, the Bach
Wine. Yeah, so
I
took another direction to it, still with the ultimate goal, contact, but more focused on going to reputed haunted locations that have been established, spirit phenomena occurring there, and trying to hone the skill of the dialogue back and forth. And, everywhere from digital audio recorders to spirit boxes to psychic mediums, and seeing what best worked in the fields. And then, you know, that's the direction that I went with it versus what Ken and his enormous heart and an incredible team do month in and month out with the residential cases. I definitely give him his props for his patience and his kindness.
Yes, not for everyone, right? I mean, it really isn't. It's like being a caregiver to the elderly. It's thankless work, not for everyone, because you're dealing with a lot of people, right, Ken, that are in a very vulnerable place. Whether that vulnerable place is their own mental instability, as George was talking about, or whether that place is the instability that has occurred because of the haunting, in or around the haunting, or because of it. You're dealing with people maybe not at their best, and it takes sort of a gentle spirit to be able to nurture people through that, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and we understand that whatever it is about this idea, you know, the paranormal and having people in to find these things, that, you know, it definitely attracts a fringe element of people. And a lot of times you have to understand that what they're saying is, I mean, essentially sometimes it's just a cry for help. So we try to be as gracious as we can with those people, because the kind of help they're looking for isn't from me. You know, it's they need to talk to someone, and they need other things that they need to work out, because, you know, it's easy, I guess, to blame the paranormal for your lot in life sometimes. And what I mean by that is we hear a lot from people. It's like everything is fine until we moved into this house. And then once we did,
right,
my husband lost his job. I got sick. The kids got sick. They can't find out exactly what's wrong with people. So a lot of times, you know, rather than take that accountability, they turn toward a supernatural explanation for those kind of things. And this is where you really have to, you know, be able to have some type of empathy to these people, and you have to be honest. And sometimes they're difficult conversations, don't get me wrong. You know, because you don't want to tell somebody, you know, you need a psychologist, you know, I mean,
yeah.
But there are ways to do those type of things that you try to tell people that you need to take some accountability for what's going on in your life, you know, not necessarily blame it on the supernatural, but really look in the mirror, and you have to lift yourself. You know,
Yeah. You
maybe you need to just clean up your house a little bit, or let some light into the room, you know, place some flowers around here. Just give the place a different type of vibe. You know,
Yeah. It's
not necessarily going to get your husband his job back, but we're talking about being able to soldier on through, you know, all of the crap that life throws at us and come out on the other side of it okay. So a lot of times we encounter those type of things where there's not a supernatural explanation. It really lies more within the person. So one of the things we try to do, you know, as non-psychological professionals, is just have a heart-to-heart talk with that person and just say, look, let's try this. You know, so that's what I mean by you have to have people skills, and you really have to care about people if you're really going to do this well. And that's just, that's non-negotiable to me.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And there is a lot of nurturing involved. Even with the most balanced people that have been thrown into an imbalance because of this bizarre paranormal element that they're unfamiliar with that has entered their lives, right? We need to,
Yeah. It's
very important that we stay strong and confident and become kind of a grounding place for them. Just
right.
Because the paranormal entering your life can make you feel ungrounded.
Well, you know how it is. If you go into anywhere with a really good, strong, positive attitude, especially if you're going somewhere where someone has a litany of things that are just scaring them or making them uneasy, the best thing to do right off the bat is just go in with a very positive demeanor. You know, you're not throwing your holy water around the house and you got seven priests and two exorcists behind you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You just basically go in there, have a cup of coffee with them, sit down like a neighbor and say, hey, tell me what's going on here. You know what I mean? Just listen to them. I mean, you can decide pretty quick whether the story makes any sense or not, but that's the whole idea of the whole thing, is just, you know, being able to have that kind of human connection and welcoming it and just kind of just bring some good positive energy in it with you, because I'm telling you, I've seen it 100 times. Someone doesn't know the ghost hunters are coming in tonight. And then you come in with a really good disposition and it, like, you see their mood start to lift too. So I think that's really important.
Yeah. I understand. I feel that. I do a lot of energetic cleanses and balancing, chakra balancing on folks. And you can feel, after spending the time in the cleanse with someone, you can feel them literally lighter afterwards. Their voice has a lightness to it. Their energy has a lightness to it. And I think a lot of times in these paranormal cases, like you're talking about, it's about, first of all, somebody is listening to me and actually believing me. And I think that alone takes an enormous weight off a lot of folks, because there's, especially in certain communities and religions, right, there's a lot of stigma surrounding, I think there's something haunting my house. Just to say it out loud to yourself can be a lot, right? And I've been there as a kid, so I get it.
I think a lot of people
coming
get
in and
beaten
saying,
down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get beaten down by outside influences, what other people tell them, whether they dismiss it and they dismiss them, or they deride them, or they're silly, or you get other people that are so into it, they just ramp up the fear. It's like, oh, my God, you know, I was watching a show the other day, and it's the same thing. You got three flies
right.
in your house. It's an infestation, I'm telling you. There's demons here.
Exactly.
And then, you know, pretty soon it just sets them off, you know.
Yeah, and right, and everybody wants to scare you, right? Everybody has seen that movie or that TV show, and they all want to tell you how scary it is. Luckily, when it happened to me as a kid, there weren't that many movies and there weren't that many TV shows. There weren't any TV shows, so that there was nothing like, you know what I mean? But still, that's not true. There was one episode of In Search Of about haunted houses, so there was one TV show, but I mean, they're really... It wasn't really until the 80s when the kind of the talk show circuit hit with the Geraldos and the Phil Donahues, and that they started having paranormal stuff and people coming and talking about it. But that was, yes. It was not something that you heard about. Now, I think because it's everywhere, it's like the WebMD of the paranormal world, right? People are diagnosing their own spiritual stuff based on what they're seeing on a television show.
And that's where the unrealistic expectations really start to unfold here, because, you know, hey, listen, television's a powerful influence. It's a powerful medium,
sure.
You know, and that's
sure.
like why they sell golf clubs and Buicks, you know, because, you know, a clever jingle or, you know, a well-done commercial that, you know, you get that earworm that sticks in your head, and the next thing you know, before you know, if you're not careful, you're buying a Buick.
Right. Right, exactly. What is the have you ever gone to a place, George, and then just literally thought, I can't help these people. Whatever's here is so nasty or powerful that I can identify it, I can tell them what's going on, but there's literally nothing I can do about this. I mean, sort of like the, you know, what next?
Well, we talked about it last time we were on, too, and it was an episode that we did actually for the show, too, Haunting of Jennifer. which was a young lady here with her daughter that we had, without question, some sort of an infestation, demonic infestation. But this was not something that was seemingly going away. We never got to the point in time, as Ken says, we never came in there with a bottle of holy water and the crucifix and the sage and all that. We didn't do any of that. We were basically data collectors to begin with. We're trying to put the story together because before you would present that to anybody in the clergy anyway, or even a demonologist, a qualified demonologist at that point in time, you need to kind of give them some ammunition and a storyline to go along with it. So we were still gathering that. But unfortunately, as the story ended, as she moved out to Texas, she's doing much, much better. But her whole family's still having occurrences. You know, I've been in places, as Ken has been in places, where there are people out there who, again, are, I think they're hypnotizing themselves into the expectation that what they're going to experience is negative. And so, you know, you go in there and realize you're not getting anything that even remotely looks like it's something that is evil or demonic. If you're going into a place and you're trying to pull out the evidence, true evidence of what's happening there, you're going to try multiple levels of contact, including, you know, your recorders, including any other device that you can use for communication, whether it's something that lights up or something that makes sound. But a lot of people will go in and their own imagination will run wild with them. You know, all of a sudden, I feel a pain in my stomach. It's a demonic attack. I feel a headache. It's a demonic attack. My throat hurts. My toe hurts. It's a demonic attack. And you're not going to be able to convince them otherwise. So, you know, you've got to go into these places objectively and from a scientific standpoint, try to gather as much evidence to validate what is going on there and if it is something that is malevolent. But it's such a rare occurrence, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What about just non-malevolent stuff? What if it's just, you know, the ghost of pissed off granny? Is it that easy to get her to leave?
Ken and I both talk about this. Go ahead, Ken, because, I mean, we both believe that aspect of, we can cross over ghosts kind of thing is, we're not sure if that's really legitimate.
I mean, that's really not in our realm. We've always considered ourselves to be documentarians. You know, not in the film sense, but in the sense of research and documentation on a location. And yeah, it's something that is common that someone says, I want this to be gone, you know. And, you know, I don't mean to be a wise guy, but I don't have any spray that I bring with me, ghost be gone. But there are a couple of elements involved in that. Number one, that's really not our thing to do. And number two, and this is just, I speak from myself here, my own opinion, I'm not sure it's like someone may want to be crossed over. Who are we to decide who we should go in and, you know, cross over? And I'm not talking about banishing. We're just talking about, I guess, your run-of-the-mill ghosts. It's like, I hate to use that term. But whether it's granny or someone like that, and I just want it to be gone, I mean, it's really not our thing. It depends on what everybody's end game is. In terms of the people that you're visiting. But it's never really been our thing. My thing has always been, when it comes down to potential spirit communication, I just go in and have a conversation. I don't challenge anything. I don't try to provoke anything. I just, like, sit down at a table and say, listen, if there's someone here, there seems to be evidence that suggests that you're here, maybe trying to get attention, let yourself be known. Let's have a conversation. Hey, I'm Ken. You know, it's like, you know, introduce myself. And, I mean, it works for me. And I don't go into the, you know, the theatrics of this thing because I see so much of that. It's like performance art, for God's sakes, you know, and people are challenging, you know, hit me, punch me. It's like, oh, God, I sometimes I wish it would happen, you know. I don't know. Yeah. I have a lot of people.
I mean, it does.
I have a lot of people who offer, the opportunity. Well, you know, I can cross spirits over if you ever need anybody to do something like that. It's like, and I think, you know, who the hell am I to be the arbiter of that? I don't know if somebody wants to be crossed over or not. I have no idea.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't either. I'm not even so much talking about crossing over, although I guess I kind of am. But also talking about how do you tell a family how to deal with it. So yeah, there's a thing here. There's two things here. There's three things here. Yeah. I think people sometimes were like, "Well, help me. What do I do now? Well, what? How can I fix it? Well, how do I fix this?" Right.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that you can tell somebody, and let's go under the supposition that you have some type of evidence that suggests, yes, you have something going on here. So let's go from there. So obviously it comes down to options for them. You know, we're not going to tell them, oh my God, you need to move out of this house or something dramatic like that. It's like, look,
right. This
is here. Has anyone been harmed? Typically the answer is no, they've just had the crap scared out of them. Very rarely someone will say, you know, I was poked but you have to understand, maybe it's just a way of getting attention. You're interpreting it as something malevolent, but they could just be like,
right.
Hey, I need to throw a book at you here because I'm trying to get you to pay attention to me. So you can misinterpret those signs sometimes. But the biggest thing is people either have to make their peace with it and just say, okay, you don't bother us, we don't bother you. But the biggest thing is never allowing yourself to become a victim. Because I've been in homes
right. Where
people say, it's a 10-room house and I'm afraid to go in 5 rooms. It's like, well, that can't stand. So sometimes you need to make an affirmation, and it sounds crazy, but you literally need to stand in the middle of your living room and say, okay, this ends right here, right now. Because you're trying to live your life, you're paying the bills, you've got a roof over your head. So you have to claim your space. And even if
right. That
doesn't work from a spiritual sense, it still psychologically empowers that person to stand up to what they think is something that's perhaps negative or oppressive, to just say, no, I'm not having it here. And a lot of times, whether it's spiritually or psychologically, it works. You know, but I think that's the biggest thing. People just need to claim back their space.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that's very important. And I think it's important that you also know that you don't have to live in fear, that we're not meant to live in fear, right? And you don't have to always be in fear of it. I think a lot of times spirits that want to scare you, and some do, some because they're scared themselves, and some because they're just shit starters. I mean, it just depends on why, right? But
yeah.
You buying into that fear and then passing that fear on to your family members and your animals and everybody else who lives in the house, then it just becomes a ball of fear that then that spirit feeds on, and then there's more fear. You know what I mean? So sometimes I think you can just diffuse it I like to say, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You know, I understand you're in my space and there's not a whole lot I can do about it, but I'm not going to put up with any dramatics. I'm not going to put up with a lot of drama, and I'm not going to put up with a lot of fear evoking. And you just say no. I mean, you're allowed to say no to spirits. You can say, I don't want that.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
We often, we preach getting rid of, you know, toxic people or toxic relationships. And, you know, a haunting per se doesn't necessarily have to be toxic, but it can be startling and annoying. If you have children there, it can certainly affect them because, you know, they want to have sleepovers. They want to do kids things. You don't want to live in the spooky haunted house as it gets around the neighborhood and nobody wants to come to visit you. So you have to take control just like you do in any other aspect of your life. You know, you need to take control of your situation and claim it back.
It's your home back. Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. How much do you think people are actually willing to do that?
I think people, for the most part, they take that advice. There have been instances where I've stood there with them when they kind of looked at me like, you know, you're going to be crazy. It's like, come over here. I'll do it with you. But you have to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand here with you, but you need to say this. I mean, the worst part is probably getting the men on board with it because men, sometimes, you know, we can take care of everything. We can fix everything. I don't need these people in my house. I can protect my family. Listen, I get it. I get it. But you got to get people to do that type of thing. And I think for the most part, now, I don't know, maybe we leave and they just go, well, that was stupid. I'm not going to do that. I feel like a fool. I don't know. But a lot of times we'll check back with people and it's just kind of like, how are things going? You know, so for the most part, I think people do take that advice, and that's all it is. It's nothing clinical. It's just advice, and it's based on, you know, years of doing this. And I know, listen, if you give yourself a good pep talk, could be about anything, could be about paying your bills. But if you give yourself a good pep talk and wind yourself up, sometimes you just go forward with a great attitude. So why the hell not paranormal? Yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, absolutely true. I agree 100%. You guys, I can't believe this, but our hour is completely done. Where can people find you online? And let's do this again soon. I appreciate you.
George is much better at this. He's got it down. George, where can they find us? Can we be found?
Come on, George. Let's do this.
I'm still looking for us. If you check us out on the YouTube, you just go simply to Dead Air Full Spectrum, and you'll be able to see all the hosts of shows that we do live every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, two-hour show with phenomenal guests, phenomenal topics, and we are also simulcast with KGRA Digital Broadcasting on their YouTube page and Facebook page as well. But if you guys are going to come join, find us, Dead Air Full Spectrum. Hit that subscribe, and you get all the content. We got some great stuff coming your way.
Yeah, we got to get those subscribers.
That.
Come on, help your brothers
all right.
out.
Ken DaCosta on Facebook.
You guys are fantastic. Yeah.
And we thank you for having us.
Been a pleasure.
Oh, it's my
always
pleasure to have you. Up. Always. Thank you so much for being here, my friends, and thank you so much for sharing your paranormal wonderfulness with the world.
All right. You're the best. Thank you.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Ken DaCosta, George R. Lopez, Dead Air Full Spectrum is the show. Wonderful pillars of the paranormal community. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your spiritual and paranormal needs. This show, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com and the network LiveParanormal.com. Till I see you next time, my friends. And, of course, my nonprofit, RaisingTheVibration.org. Seek peace. Live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and raise your vibration at all times. I'll see you next week at 5 o'clock Pacific time. I love you.